Good morning, everybody. Everybody having fun so far? Good. Everybody must think I have the virus, and the worship team does, because everybody's like back there. So, no, I've got it. Okay. Thank you guys again all for joining, and for those online, thank you guys for being a part of this and coming and being a part of church. Because this is who we are as a community, and excited for what God's doing in our body and what God will do in our body and what's to come. Just a reminder to you, we're kind of rebooting our pastor search after some strikeouts with people we were interested in. And so we just covet your prayers greatly that God would bring somebody along sooner than later. So we sincerely appreciate your prayers for that. So please be praying for that pastor search. We're looking for a worship pastor and somebody to admin pastor to be a part of it. So please be praying for that. But we're going to get into a new series starting today called Reboot. And you can guess that's a computer term. Most of you guys know that. Not always. You reboot your phone, though you probably don't even call it that. So when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about like the idea of reboot is like my computer at work. Sometimes my computer at work just gets bogged down. Maybe yours does too. Usually it's my email program because I like save every email that I get on Outlook. And so like our tech guy at work always says mine's like the biggest he's ever seen out of any Outlook file ever. Because it's huge because I save everything. That's just what I was trained to do. So I save everything and this just all builds up and then I just don't delete stuff and it just builds and builds and builds and builds and builds and fills up my computer. And after a while, if you notice, computer user, you notice, boy, my computer's kind of slow. What's going on in here? Blasted thing. And then you try hitting it or whatever and still doesn't work. And okay, what's going on? And then you call your tech guy. The tech guy comes in and he says, what have you been doing on this thing? It's like at 99.9% capacity here. You filled it up and it's just full of all these files that you probably haven't ever used or probably never will use. You used maybe once 10 years ago and that's about it. So it's overloading because it's got all these things going on and it can't run like the basic functions that it needs to because it's got everything else going on. It's just overwhelmed, so it just stops functioning. I don't know about you guys, but that's kind of how like 2020 seemed to me. It was just like overwhelming with everything going on. So like your basic functions just shut down and you're like, what do I do? I'll just sit here and watch TV or the news or Facebook or something like that. You just kind of shut down when everything starts coming at you. You just get overloaded, overwhelmed basically. And the solution for my computer usually is the same thing as you guys. What you do is, or the same thing for our lives, is we just have to go back in there, see what's going on in our lives, get rid of a bunch of stuff that isn't important, that we don't need anymore, and then we just get back to these basic primary functions, the stuff that we really need, the stuff that we really will use. You get rid of all this stuff, and you restart the computer, reboot it, kick it back up, and it gets rid of all these things that you're never using that aren't important, and it gets back to these primary functions, these main things that you do need that are critical to what you do, and that's what you focus on. And so that's what we're talking about today, is getting rid of all these things that aren't that important. It's all the distractions, the social media, the fears, the worries, the doubts, the bitterness, the frustration, the anger. It's deleting or downsizing all these files, pushing them to the side so we can get back to those basic primary operating functions. Those basic functions, because if those basic functions aren't working, then you're not accomplishing anything. Nothing's really happening. So that's what we're going to be talking about in this series coming up. It's a four-week series. Today we're talking about prayer. Next week David's going to be talking about the Word. And then we're going to get into community and mission. As basically those are the primary functions that the Bible identifies for us as believers to focus on. So that's what we'll be getting into today. So today again we're getting into prayer. And what I'm talking about in prayer, just to be specific in here, is this is your personal prayer time, your personal prayer life. There isn't time to get today into corporate prayer or praying for other people or different things like that. And in church, prayer teams, there's so many aspects of prayer that are all awesome. But today we're talking about your personal prayer life. What's going on in your personal prayer life? And maybe some of you are like, oh, darn. Well, this is a good message then. So my big idea in this is make prayer a habit of joy as we communicate with God the Father. Make prayer a habit of joy. Because it should be joy in the end. I'm not saying every time you sit down and pray, it's going to be like, woohoo, I got to go pray. It's not for me, trust me. But man, it should be more and more as we get into it, because we're talking with God the Father, the creator of the universe. So we're going to read here. We're going to read in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 5, if you can turn with me there, through 13. And this is the Lord's Prayer section and a little bit extra. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, we just lay this time before you, Father, that, Lord, we would not just be hearers of your word, but that we would be doers of you too, of it too. I thank you for those you've brought here today, Lord, either virtually or in person, to be hearers of your word. And Lord, I just pray that we would hear with open ears to hear what you would say to us, Father, and that it wouldn't just affect our brain and our thought, but Lord, that by your spirit, that you would move that out through us, that it would change our life, Lord God, change how we live, change our habits. And Lord, that you would just draw us to you, Lord, to recognize the beautiful gift that we have in prayer and the beautiful opportunity that we have in prayer, Lord. That you would give us understanding in what that is, Lord, and that you would motivate our heart and our body, Lord God, to follow through on that and to make time for you in prayer, Lord, that we can enjoy your presence. Lord, move by the power of your spirit in this time and bless it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, so we're going to be getting into it here a bit. So the first part, working our way through it again, is prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is vital communication in relationship with God. Vital communication in relationship with God. Okay, I mean, we start this first part of what we read. We were talking about the Pharisees, basically. That's who Jesus is talking about. They stand and pray in the synagogues and street corners to be seen by others. And they pray up, and they use long prayers, heap on word on word on word. Because what they thought prayer, basically how they were using prayer, was as a means of people to see how cool they were. They weren't using it to talk to God. They were using it basically to, hey, look at me. Look at how holy and spiritual and awesome I am. Check me out. That's what they were using prayer as. They'd forgotten what prayer is about, what the real purpose and heart of it is. And what it is, it's just time with God. It's communication in relationship with God. It's one-on-one time with God our Father, God the Almighty. So what should that look like? What should that be like? So I'll give you an analogy here. I mean, Tracy and I are married. What if I, and a lot of you guys are married here, what if you, with your wife, you said, okay, honey, I'll give you from 7 a.m. until 7:10 a.m. every morning, and we're going to get together and we're going to talk, and I'm going to tell you what I need you to do for the day, okay? Or what I need, what I'm looking forward to, or what I want, okay? And that's how you spent your 10 minutes a day with your spouse. How would your marriage look? Everybody's silent. You can respond. It's okay. How would your marriage look? Bad. You would have a black eye, probably. It would not go well. Trust me, I do this. I make this mistake with my wife at night sometimes. We'll sit down to relax finally after we've done all the chores, and she's trying to relax. And I'm like, hey, honey, tomorrow, remember, we need to do this and this and this and this. And it does not go well for that quiet time from there on out. Trust me, it goes very poorly. It's a bad use of time. I'm not saying never do that, but yeah, you've got to sandwich it in and squish it around with other stuff, okay? So in the same way with God, that's how some of us approach our relationship with God. I do sometimes too. We're like, God, hey, good to meet you, I'm Matt. This is what I need. This, 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 and this, okay? Hey, thanks, God. Amen. Take care. That's our prayer time, and I'm sorry you're missing the boat on the beauty and glory of what prayer time is. There is time for that, and we'll get into it, but there's so much more in there. Prayer is talking with God. It's communication with God. Obviously, it's different than our spouse because we're talking with God Almighty. There's a level of honor and respect and praise that happens in that. But still, it's that idea of sharing our hurts, our fears, our worries, our frustrations, our gratitude, our praise, all those things. It's being real with God, laying ourselves open before God and talking to Him. If you ever need good examples of this, just read through the Psalms. Man, prayer, I mean, you see David in there, and David just seems bipolar so many times because he's like, woo, praise God. God, you're so amazing. Slay my enemies. Kill them all because they're persecuting me. My life's misery and torture and torment. And you see all these things happening in David's life because he was real. He was straight up with God. Psalm 73 is a great one sometime to read. I mean, just a real. Psalm 73 is a guy. Just, God, why do the wicked prosper? He's just being real with God, talking with God, and God leads him in that prayer time into his plans and purposes and opens his eyes. And this is one of the caveats on it. A real prayer life takes faith. It takes faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Must believe that God exists and rewards those who seek him. You see, prayer takes faith more than, I think, more than about any other spiritual discipline, because we're just sitting in the presence of God and talking to nothing, basically, unless we have faith to believe that there's a God on the other side that's listening to us. And I think, for me personally, I struggle with prayer. Prayer is something I struggle with greatly. I think because of that, I'm a checklist-driven guy. I love checklists. I love accomplishing something. And prayer doesn't seemingly accomplish things to me. It's just like, I mean, like if I'm reading my Bible, whoo, I read a chapter. Whoo, I've read through the book of Psalms or something like that. I've accomplished something. But with prayer, there's no like visible, tangible things that we can necessarily see at the end of our prayer time. It takes faith to believe that there's a God on the other side of my prayer who's listening and who cares and who is responding to my prayers. We can't see that progress. It's entirely a work of faith, just trusting it to God. Okay, one other verse here. If you could turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7. Again, on the purpose of prayer and what it's about. So it's relationship with God, but check this out too. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the God and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's the peace of God. You see, the beauty of prayer is prayer changes us as we pray. I mean, he's talking about lay out your prayer requests to God. Lay out your prayers to God. And he says, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Prayer changes us as we pray. It changes our hearts. It changes our attitude. It changes our outlook on things. It molds us to be more like God. I like this quote. It says, prayer is not pulling God to my will. God, this is what I want. God, this is what I want. But as we truly have that relationship and connection with God, prayer is the aligning of my will to God. As we have that conversation, that dialogue with God, God changes our hearts and lines up our will with His. You see, ultimately, the goal of prayer, of our personal prayer time, is not necessarily to see answers to prayer. But the goal is that connection with God that changes us to be more like Him, to see Him more glorified in us and around us. That ultimately is the goal of a personal prayer life. It's about changing our hearts. It's about giving glory and honor and praise to God. And I one other verse to throw in there that I thought was cool. This is Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. Revelation 5, 8. This is talking about the scene in heaven playing out that we see in Revelation. what the scrolls and living creatures and all these things. But I want to focus on one verse here. When he had taken the scroll, that's Jesus, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And I just think that's cool. Do you know that? God stores up our prayers into this book of Revelation. We see up to the very end, God is storing up our prayers in these golden bowls, these special containers. And it says that they're incense, basically, this sweet incense, this perfume to God. God cherishes and treasures up our prayers. They're like a sweet incense to him. They're awesome to him. Okay, so that's a little bit about why to pray and what prayer is about. Now we're going to get into a little bit about the practicals of what prayer is and how do we pray, basically. What should our prayer life look like? And it's cool. I mean, as always in the Bible, Jesus doesn't leave us hanging. He gives us some guidelines in there. And we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer in this and talk about it. And we're going to break it down a little bit on what Jesus is talking about. You see, a lot of people will take the Lord's Prayer and it'll just get vainly repeated. I mean, on Sundays at church or something like that, and nobody really pays attention to what he's talking about. And Jesus wasn't saying, this is your prayer, pray this, only this, never pray anything else, just pray this. That wasn't his heart in it at all. His heart was, man, this is a framework of how to pray, what your prayer life should look like, what it should consist of, and we're going to get into that. So we're going to go verse by verse, break it down here for a bit. So he starts off, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Is it hallowed or hallowed? I don't know. Either one, I don't know. So you hear it either way. I think Old English, maybe hallowed. Okay, we're just going to go with, it's not Halloween, so I'm just going to go by hallowed. Okay, so hallowed be your name. Basically, that's the way he's starting off with, is our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's starting off with glorifying God and recognizing who he is. A good prayer time should always start off giving glory and honor to who God is, recognizing who he is. Psalm 100 says, enter his courts with praise. It's a great way to come before God because, one, it helps us remember who we're talking to. We're not talking to Joe down the street. We're not talking to our kids. We're not talking to our spouse. We're talking about God, the creator of the universe. God Almighty, and we can have that dialogue with him, but man, we do owe him respect and honor. And also, it helps us remember who we are asking when we pray, who we're talking to when we pray. We're not asking somebody who can't accomplish anything. We're asking God Almighty who can do anything, anything is possible with God. That's who we're praying to, is God Almighty, the creator of the universe. Man, there's power when God moves and responds to prayer because he is God. So verse 10, we can't spend a lot of time on each of these. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what he's talking about in here is trusting God's plans and purposes, trusting God's will. You see, we're not always going to pray the right stuff. We're not going to pray always the right things. We're not going to pray exactly the perfect prayers that we always should to see God's will accomplished. But it's in trusting that God's plans will be fulfilled. And God's not always going to answer our prayers, too, and it's recognizing that. Like the Garth Brooks song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. Anybody actually remember that one? We have some old school people in here. Yeah, okay. Yeehaw. Okay. But it's remembering that God's not always going to answer our prayers, but it's entrusting those to him because God's will is perfect. And it's recognizing that God's will is perfect and it will come to pass. So we can trust him with our prayers. We can trust him that he might not always answer as we want to. He might not always answer them at all, but God's perfect will is governing everything and he will accomplish his plan. And then verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. I like that in there because, you know, he says bread. What he's talking about in there is focus on our needs, focusing on our needs. He doesn't say, give us this day our daily caviar. Because he's not talking about like fancy food. Give us this day our daily candy and apples and ice cream and whatever else kids might want and maybe me. All these fancy foods or anything like that. He's just talking about the bare minimums of life. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not, you see, prayer isn't about getting all of our desires. It's not bad to pray our desires, put those out there. But remember that really all we need in life is our basics, bread, food, and water, air, things like that, the basics. Pray, ask God to supply our needs. But a lot of our prayer life shouldn't be devoted for our desires. It should be devoted to seeing God glorified, to more important things out there, praying for our church, praying for others, different things like that. And this is the petition part of our prayer. Again, we ask God to supply our needs. But man, this is the time when we can ask God for a lot of other things. Praying for other people. Pray for people in the church. If you ever can't think of anything to pray for, pray for me, because I desperately need it. Pray for our church. Pray for the pastor search. Pray for Pastor David. Pray for a thousand things. Missionaries, God to be glorified. Pray for other churches. There's so many things to be praying for. We'll never get bored on that. Pray for your family. Pray for your spouse. Pray for all those who are around you who don't know God. There's so many things to pray for. And let it be driven by a love for God and for others and seeing God glorified. That should always be driving our prayer, seeing God glorified out of love for others. And verse 12, and forgive us our debts. So what he's talking about here is forgive us our debts. As we did in worship this morning, it's a time basically of repentance, of asking God for forgiveness for our sins. And it's dealing with any sin issues that are in our heart as we sit down before a holy God and pray. And I don't know about you guys, but basically about every time I sit down before God, there's some kind of sin in my heart that needs to be dealt with. Maybe I'm the only one, but yeah, pretty much always when I sit down, there's something that I need to deal with. There's some sin that I need to get rid of. And that's where the gift of repentance comes in. And that's just God giving us the ability through his blood, through his death on the cross, to turn away from sin, to ask his forgiveness for our sins, and to turn away from them. It's that genuine sorrow for what we've done. So part of our prayer time should be, God, search my heart. See if there be any unclean or ugly thing, and then take it away. Cleanse my heart. Make it clean again. That should always be a part of our prayer time. And that's critical to do daily. Don't let sin build up. That's why this prayer time and incorporating it into your prayer is critical. I don't know about you guys. How many other people here love to soak dishes? Anybody? It's just like got stuff in it. And they're like, I should wash this. But man, it's hard to get up. I'm soaking it. Then your wife comes in and says, why didn't you wash that? It's soaking, honey. It's soaking. I'm getting the stuff off of it. Soaking it out. And it's like, no. Well, now the scary thing is that's what my kids do too. They're like, it's soaking, Daddy. Like, hang it. Yeah, I've done that a lot of times. So. And it's just an excuse for not dealing with it. And the thing is, usually it just doesn't get dealt with then too. Because half the time it's soaking, but there's no water in it. And you're like, it's not even soaking. There's no water in it even. It's just procrastination. And you know, sin is like that. If we don't deal with it then, it's way harder to get out later. If you leave a dish out and don't clean it, it's way harder to clean it later. Same way with sin. If we let sin build up and we don't deal with it regularly, as it comes up, as God brings it to mind, deal with it. As God brings a sin to mind, deal with it. If we just let it build up, man, it's a lot harder to get out. Trust me, it is. And then verse 12 continues, as we have also forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And that one's a powerful one, because what that is dealing with any anger or bitterness or unforgiveness in our own hearts. It's dealing with that, taking care of it. And I think that's especially critical now as I was thinking about this, because there's so much more of it now. There's so much division that I see within our church, within family groups, within friends. There's so much division out there. Man, you just get onto social media and pow, there's division everywhere, anger and bitterness and hatred everywhere. Maybe it's about politics. Maybe it's about masks, about the virus, how we should do this and this and this. There's so much division and anger and hatred out there. Man, we need to deal with that and get rid of it, Because a Christian, that's not part of our life. That's not how we should be living in anger and unforgiveness and in bitterness. I love how Jesus, as we also have forgiven our debtors. You see, this isn't optional. Forgiveness isn't optional for a Christian. He talks about it past tense. It's not part of a Christian's life to be angry and bitter. Unless you're angry about sin, but never towards people. You've got to deal with that. It's contrary to God's nature to be angry or to be bitter and unforgiving towards people. Deal with that in your prayer time. Let go of that. Maybe you need to repent of that anger or bitterness. Maybe you need to ask God to take it away or help you forgive somebody that's wronged you. And instead, take that time and pray for people. If you're angry at those people, man, pray for them. Pray for them. Good opportunity that God's given you. So deal with that bitterness in prayer, because we remember Christ's forgiveness of our greater sin. That's the power that we have to forgive, is we remember what we've forgiven, what we've been forgiven of. And if you don't have a great appreciation for forgiveness, then you really don't understand how much sin you have. If we understood how much sin we have, we would understand so much more the beauty and the power of Christ's forgiveness. And it would be so much easier to forgive others because we'd recognize what he's forgiven us of. Okay, jumping on. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this is the spiritual battle portion. And I won't spend a lot of time on it because we just did a series on it with the armor of God, talking about that, how we are in a battle against Satan, against the worldly desires and pulls and powers, and how we need to take up the armor of God to fight against that, to be able to stand firm against that. Like Tyler talked about in his message last week, he did an awesome job in that one. So if you haven't heard it, check it out. So again, it's like radioing Christ for backup, for help, when we're in the middle of the battle, when we're fighting against temptation and sin. Before we respond to those that have differing opinions than we do in anger and bitterness. And then the last one, some of you guys probably have in your Bible, you're like, I mean, some like this one ends, but deliver us from evil. And those of you who grew up in the church, you're like, but what? Where's the last verse that talks about yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever? Some Bibles have it, some don't. It's in some manuscripts, but not in all of them. But I'm going to mention it anyway. So there's in some manuscripts, some translations, it includes yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And that is an awesome way to end prayer, is just praising God at the end. Just spending a minute and praising God at the end and thanking him for who he is, honoring, glorying, and praising God. And basically then we're just turning loose of our prayers. Just, God, I know you're awesome. I know you hear our prayers and you're amazing. Here they are. May your name be glorified, God. It's a great way to end prayer. Okay. So getting into the last point, making prayer a discipline. Making prayer a discipline. You see, this is where it really gets to the meat of it. And okay, what do we do now? You see, almost how many here think that their prayer life is awesome and that you're good to go? You've got a good prayer time and you don't need to change anything about your prayer time. Anybody? Nobody? I don't know. Most every Christian, me included, it would be like, yeah, my prayer life's lacking. It needs to change. I need to grow in my prayer. Almost everybody would admit that readily. Some people are like, yeah, my prayer life's awesome, but I don't want to raise my hand because nobody else is. No, but about every one of us would be like, yeah, our prayer life needs to improve. You see, the thing is, this message, I mean, what I went over and talked about in there, probably not a lot of it's that revelatory for a lot of people. What matters now is what you do with it. You see, listening to this message and hearing it and being here a part of it won't matter a thing unless you choose to do something about it, unless you choose to make that prayer time a habit and a pattern and to grow your personal prayer time. It's like riding a bicycle. It's like learning anything. You don't just jump in and you're awesome at it usually. You're developing that. You're growing. You're shaping your prayer life. It takes a commitment and it takes a habit. It takes discipline to make that happen, to make it a part of your lifestyle. Because if you don't choose to do something about it, nothing's going to change. As David always says, if you fail to plan, that means that you're planning to fail. We'll jump into one other verse here, Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2, right after Philippians, if you remember where that one is. Colossians 4:2. And this is Paul writing to the church, and he says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." So steadfastly in prayer. So steadfast, if you just focus on that word, steadfast in prayer, that calls for a devout habit. That's a commitment. That's being devoted to it, being disciplined to pray. And we think of discipline as like this negative word, but it isn't. Really, it means an intention and a plan of action. And there's nothing wrong with that. You see, Paul a lot of times compares the Christian life to athletes. The Christian to athletes, and he talks about how an athlete lives. And you see, all successful athletes have a very strict discipline on what they eat, when they eat, how much they eat, where they go to exercise, what exercises they do, how long they do each exercises, how long they sleep. All these things are so strictly regimented so that they can be successful. And how much more do we as Christians, living this struggle of life, fighting against the enemy that we fight against, how much more do we need that discipline to succeed and be to succeed in our life with God and to succeed in our devotional life? You see, all the surveys that are out there say that the majority of Christians don't have a regular devotional time. They're not regularly reading their Bible. They're not regularly praying, all these things. And that's why we're doing this series here. Because I think that, honestly, like we talked about earlier, prayer and reading the Bible and all these things that we get into, it changes us to be more like Christ. So I think there's a shortage and a lacking out there of Christians truly living out the Christian life. And I think that flows from the basic functions aren't happening. Like we talked about, the computer, those basic functions aren't happening. We need that devotion life to change us to be like Christ, to give us the power to truly live out the Christian life. A few practicals for me. I find that praying in the morning is critical. I need to do that. It just starts off the day right and gets me in the habit and the attitude of prayer. For me, what's important to me, I mean, just some basic guidelines. I usually get up and I exercise before I pray. While I'm exercising, I'm listening in to worship music, and then I go pray. Because sometimes if I just wake right up and go sit in the chair and prayer and pray, it's the most pathetic prayer time you've ever seen. Because it's like, Lord, I pray that church would grow. It's pathetic. So get up and do something active. And then I'm listening to worship music too. It's awesome. And for me, sometimes if I'm tired, I need to pray under my breath, pray out loud under my breath. That helps me stay awake. It helps me stay more focused. I've got a prayer list on the inside of my Bible, too, that I can use because my Bible's right next to where I go and pray. And I can pull that out, and sometimes I use it, sometimes I don't. If I need, like, a kickstart, I'll look at that, and, oh, these are things to pray for, and then I'll start praying, and then I can build off of that. Or use the Lord's Prayer as a guide. Check that out and just kind of work your way through that. Okay, this is when God, I need to praise you, and then we work our way through those aspects of prayer that we talked about. You see, structured prayer leads to unstructured prayer. As we're just talking to God, working through this structure, through this set time, then our prayer life just starts going off in all these different directions. It gives it the groundwork to spring from. Some people think that it's like, oh, that's legalistic to have a prayer time. Legalistic to be that devoted and to set a time frame or something on it. I've never, doing building or construction work, have you ever had a contractor say, you have them do their house, and you go in there and say, you didn't even put a foundation on it. Well, that's legalistic to do a foundation. Everybody does foundations. We don't need to worry about that. We want to have fun and build up and be spontaneous and grow and be crazy. No, but it's going to collapse. No builder builds without a foundation. In the same way with prayer, you need that structure to start from. And then you can go. There's lots of crazy, awesome buildings out there in the world. But I'll tell you what. Every single one of them has a planned, engineered foundation. And then, because they build that up to give it the structure, and then it can go off and go everywhere and do all these crazy things. In the same way with our prayer life, have some structure to it. And then start with that structure, and then let God take it where he will. As God brings to mind things to pray for and how to pray, God will do that if you just have that starting. And as you build your prayer life, you'll notice that. And then you'll get into that prayer without ceasing that Paul talks about, where you just pray and pray and pray, and one prayer leads to another. And then you just go about your day praying. That's what I love, is when I'm so into prayer and into time with God, I have those days where, man, you just go about praying. I mean, everything that comes across in life, if a good thing happens, you turn it into a prayer of thanksgiving. If a need comes up or a problem, you turn it into a prayer and ask God's help to dealing with it. Every thought that comes through your mind, you just channel into a prayer, into a conversation with God. That's the way it should be. So what does all this mean to me? What does it all mean to me? First, we need to recognize that a faith-filled, consistent prayer life is one of the basic functions that we have as a believer. We need that. We've got to have that. And most of you guys probably would readily agree, yep, I need to have that. But the question is, we can't just stop with acknowledging that. We can't just stop with acknowledging the importance of prayer without doing something about it. And that's making a plan to change and making a personal prayer time into a priority, a habit, a discipline. We've got to make that as a plan. Do something about it. Otherwise, nothing's going to change. Another encouragement in there is find accountability to actually live out that plan. Find somebody around you that will ask you, hey, how's your prayer life doing? What are you doing in your prayer life? Find guys that will hold you accountable to that. Maybe that's your spouse. Maybe that's somebody else in the church. I love it. I've got three other guys that are part of this body that are committed every week to ask me how my prayer life is doing. So, man, I've got, if I'm not praying well, those three guys know about it because I've got to tell them every week. And if I'm doing well on it, it's awesome incentive to pray. And again, is that legalistic? Maybe a bit, but man, if it helps my prayer life grow, that's awesome. I'll take it and run with it. So find people to keep you accountable. I love this story I found. It said, early African converts to Christianity were earnest and regular in private devotions. Each one reportedly had a separate spot in the thicket out in the grass where he would pour out his heart to God. Over time, the paths to each person's place became well-worn. As a result, if one of the believers began to neglect prayer, their prayer time, it was soon apparent to everybody else, because they would kindly remind the other person, brother, the grass grows on your path. I love that. That's awesome. Man, we need that for each other. I mean, looking at each other, like where we could say, hey, brother, you got some grass growing on your path there. How's your prayer life doing? We need that. We need to challenge and encourage each other. Desperately, we need that. I need that very much. You see, if we have no plan or accountability, we will fail. But if we have these, we can succeed. And like I said, it's not going to start off perfect. It's going to be growth as we grow in prayer, as we start off, I mean, with this structure, start off with the Lord's Prayer, start off with a prayer list, and work our way into it. And if we stay faithful and committed to that, our prayer life will grow and grow and grow. And you will find that it will be a joy. Man, you will look forward more and more to your prayer time, that time with God, to talk to him, to enjoy his presence. So my prayer for you today is, I can't make any of you guys do this, obviously, but my prayer is that you guys will make a plan for your prayer life today before you leave. There's pencils in the thing in front of you. Probably half of you have your phone or more. Man, write something down. We're going to take a minute before we do communion here. Write something down. This is when I'm going to pray. And I want you to say when you're going to pray, for how long, and where you're going to pray. Have a place, have a time. You don't have to have a duration, but a place and a time, I guess. And then find somebody else to keep you accountable. A friend, a spouse, whatever it is. But do not leave here today, please, without writing something down on that. Maybe set a reminder in your phone. Make a plan to do something and to have that set prayer time. You will not regret it, I promise you. You will not regret it. So consider that. Think about that for a minute. Maybe tell it to somebody next to you. Again, put it in your phone. So we're going to take a minute. If we can have the prayer teams and the worship teams come up. We're going to take a minute before we get into communion here. And think about that for a minute. And again, I encourage you, write something down on it. If you don't have a consistent time, write it down. If you have a consistent plan, or if you have a plan but you're not consistent at it, think of somebody right now that you can write down that can help encourage you to be consistent in it. Okay? And then make a point this week, or even today if they're here, to ask them, hey, brother, can you hold me accountable to pray? Can you watch my grass? Make sure there's no grass growing in there. And now we're going to get into communion too. And this is awesome as it connects into prayer. Because prayer is all made possible because of what we celebrate in communion. You see, we are sinful people. We are full of sin. And we are coming in prayer before an all-holy God, the Almighty God. And we can't do that in our sin. We can't come before this holy God in our sin. But Christ, by his blood and by his death, paved that way for us. His body broken for us that we celebrate with the bread. His blood shed for us that we celebrate with the wine. Those are the gifts that Christ offered up on our behalf as he took the punishment for all of our sin upon him so that we could get rid of that sin. As we repent, as we turn from it, we can get rid of that, and we have the ability then to come before an all-holy God in prayer. What a gift that God has given us in prayer through his death on the cross. And so as you think about communion and think about this plan to pray, again, please write it down. Make a note. Put it in your phone. Something. Do that now as we take this minute. Because this gift of communion, we can neglect it. We can forsake it. And if we don't use that gift of prayer, we're neglecting the gift that God has given us through his death, through the blood that he shed for us. So again, we'll partake of communion here in just a minute. And as you do, remember what Christ did. So we're going to take a few minutes in quiet, pray about it, and ask God to lead you into a prayer time and to guide your heart to that. So take a few minutes for that, and then we'll do communion and worship. Lord, we just thank you for your mercy to us, Father, us sinners. Thank you, Lord, for drawing us to yourself, Lord. Thank you for the gift of prayer that you have given us, Father. Lord, that we can come before an all-holy God and bare our hearts and ask you, Lord, make our petitions before you, Father, and that you do hear us, that you cherish our prayers, Lord. And Lord, thank you that you mold and shape us even through them, Father. And so I just pray for us as we leave, Lord, that we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, Lord, but that we would be doers also. Lord, that for each one of us, that we would make a commitment in our personal prayer time, Lord, and that you would grow our prayer time, Lord, like never before, Father. That we would grow in our walk with you and in our love relationship with you through prayer, Father. And I just pray for that for each person here in Jesus' name. And thank you for your amazing grace and kindness. In your name, amen. Thank you, guys. Reminder, we have the prayer teams up here if you would like prayer to be able to pray or for anything else. God bless you guys. Have a great week.